We've been studying the life of Jacob, and I called him, he is the poster child of grace. There is nothing admirable about this fellow at all. In fact, as we've gone through the story, there is nothing admirable about anybody in the story. It didn't matter. Isaac, Rebekah, Esau, Jacob, Leah, Rachel. There's not one good thing about any of them. And the worst of them all, Laban. Okay, Laban was a scheming and deceiving and self-serving individual. And as you read the story of Jacob and Laban, you start feeling sorry for Jacob because of how much he had to go through with Laban. He worked 5,110 days to get two wives. One he didn't want. 5,110 days. And then he's going to labor six more years now for Laban, who changes, and you'll see this later in the text, changes his salary 10 times, always for Laban's benefit. That's Laban. And you wonder, if you're Jacob, that God appeared to Jacob on his way, you see, his 500-mile trek to go see Laban and where Rachel was, and he never appeared to him again, never said a word to him for 20 years. So you start wondering if your Jacob is like, where's God? All this stuff, all this injustice, all this scheming, where's God in all of this? Well, by the way, have you ever had that thought? You ever had that thought? Where's God in this mess? This whole thing we're going through, where's God in this? Well, that was the thought that he had. And he's going to give Jacob the same answer he's going to give us. We'll get the answer first, then go to the context. Go to Genesis 31 with me. Genesis 31 and verse 11. And Moses writes here, he says, then the angel of God said to me in a dream, Jacob, and I always love it in scripture when this happens. Jacob said, here I am. I always love that. Give your name. I'm here. He's thinking, 20 years I waited. Now I get this. And he said, lift up, he says, now your eyes and see that all the male goats which are mating are striped, speckled, and mottled. And we'll talk about that in a few moments. And then he says this, for I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. 20 years. God said, I saw it all. I've seen everything that Laban has done to you. That's God's message to us. We don't go through anything like this. You see, one thing is for sure. All of us, at some time or another, have a Laban or a Laban-like person in our lives. Could be your boss, family member, neighbor. Could also be a circumstance that you find yourself in. But you have to deal with something like Laban in your lives. And what God is saying to Jacob, and he's saying to us, I've seen it all. Don't worry about that. I've seen it. Now let's go back and get some context. Look at chapter 30 and verse 25. We pick up the story from last time. Now it came about when Rachel had borne Joseph, and Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place and to my own country. It's time now. Finally, Rachel has a child. Leah has six sons. The bride he didn't want, the wife he didn't want, Rachel has one. He says, give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you. Let me depart, for you yourself know my service which I have rendered to you. 20 years. By the way, Laban's extremely rich because of Jacob, and Jacob has nothing. He has two wives who don't like each other, you see, and one he doesn't care much for. He continued, and he said, name me your wages, and I'll give it to you. The reason is Laban said in verse 27, if now it pleases you to stay with me, I have divined that the Lord has blessed me on your account. Now, Laban's not a believer. He's not a seeker of God at all. But he divined this. Think of this. He had this much wealth when Jacob came. He now has this much. And he divined, you see, that he's been blessed through this. Really? He said, yeah. I don't know what it meant. He divined it. It's usually something not very good in Scripture, but it says that he divined it, and he said, now I know I'm being blessed because of you. So in verse 29, he said to him, you yourself know how I've served you and how your cattle have fared with me. For if you had little before I came, it has increased to a multitude, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I turned. But now, when shall I provide for my own household also? He has nothing. So he said to him, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. If you will do this one thing for me, I will again, he says, pastor and keep your flock. Now, please understand something. This is two of the most deceptive scoundrels in Scripture. Okay? This is A1 and B1. I can't believe either one of them ever thought for a moment what the other one was telling them was true. So, but Jacob says, look, you don't have to pay me anything. Laban's like, hey, I'm kind of interested in not paying you anything. What are we talking about here? Wow. He says, let me pass through your entire flock today, removing from there every speckled and spotted sheep and every black one among the lambs and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and such shall be my wages. Now, spotted sheep and spotted or striped goats have much less value than non-spotted. They're also a distinct, you got to remember this, minority. There's not a lot of them. They're usually the first that are going to be slaughtered for some other reason. They can't be used for sacrifice or anything like that. But the point of it is, so Laban's hearing this said, this is too good to be true. This is, wow. He wants to take my few worthless sheep and goats? That's his deal? I like it. Well, he said then, so my honesty, in verse 33, will answer for me later when you come concerning your wages. Everyone that is not speckled or spotted among the goats and black among the lambs, if found with me, you can consider it stolen. I'll not take one of your, not one lamb, not one sheep, not one goat. Laban said, good. Let's do it according to your word. Let's shake on it. I like that deal. So he removed on that day the striped and spotted male goats and all the speckled and spotted female goats, every one with white in it, and all the black ones among the sheep, and gave them to the care of his sons. And he put a distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob. So that's pretty far. They're several miles apart now. It says, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. Then Jacob took fresh rods of poplar and almond and plane trees and peeled white stripes in them, exposing the white which was in the rods. Now, that is about the most nonsensical verse I've read in Scripture. Like you're figuring out what's going on here. Not yet. He set the rods which he had peeled in the front of the flocks in the gutters, even in the watering troughs, where the flocks came to drink, and they mated when they came to drink there. So the flocks mated by the rods, and the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. What? Yeah. Now, remember, Jacob's been a shepherd for 20 years. He wasn't a shepherd. He was kind of a wealthy landowner back in Canaan. And so now there's apparently some myths going around the shepherd community. And said, if you want to get spotted, striped, speckled sheep or goats, you just pull some of the bark off these trees, and wherever the water troughs are, set it up there so that they can look at this. And if they look at this while they're mating, then you're going to get spotted and speckled animals. Sounds sound, doesn't it? By the way, I spent way too much time this week trying to follow this thing. Andrew Steinman wrote this. He's the only guy I know. He said, what's going on here? Was this superstition, folklore, or was Jacob ahead of his time? He said, I think so. It has been recently proposed that Jacob's stripping the bark from the branches may have exposed some nutrient that when in the drinking water, thereby changed the color of the coats of the young that they bore. Now, that's him. I read 20 other sources that said, that's nonsense. That's just completely nonsensical. But Jacob believed it. You see, that Jacob has to have an angle. Everything he does has an angle. That's why he made the deal with Laban. He said, if I do this, almost all the sheep and goats are going to come out for me. So that's what he ends up doing. So what ends up happening is, it says, verse 40, Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face toward the striped and all the black in the flock of Laban. And he put his own herds apart and did not put them with Laban's flock. Moreover, whenever the stronger of the flock were mating, Jacob would place the rods in their sight of the flock in the gutters so that they might mate by the rods. And when the flock was feeble, he did not put them in. So the feebler of Laban's were allowed to mate without the stuff in the trough. So the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks and female and male servants and camels and donkeys. There's a success story. How to get rich? Simply by scheming. Okay, that's what he did. Now, you'll see in a moment, that had nothing to do with this. Nothing. But in Jacob's mind, I need to have an angle. I always need to find a way to deceive. Verse 1 of 31. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons. Laban now has his own sons. He said, has taken away all that was our father's, and from what belonged to our father, he has made all his wealth. This guy's becoming prosperous. His flocks are huge. Jacob saw the attitude of Laban, and behold, he was not friendly as formula. No, he wasn't as formally friendly. Why? He was taken. He believes that Jacob took him. And he wanted to take Jacob. And he's been taking Jacob for 20 years. And so now he's a little bit upset by all this. Wow. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I'll be with you. First time God spoke for 20 years to him. He had never a word. Remember, he doesn't have any written scriptures, nothing like that. All he has is God's word. 20 years later, God says, now, just what I told you before, go back home. I told you I'd send you home. I told you I'd protect you. That's all we told him. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to his flock in the field. And he said to them, I see your father's attitude, that it's not friendly toward me as formerly, but that the God of my fathers has been with me. You know that I have served your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. However, God did not allow him to hurt me. If he spoke thus, the speckled shall be your wages. That's what he said. And then all the flock came forth speckled, and he spoke thus, the stripe will be your wages. Then all the flock was brought forth with stripe. Thus, God has taken away your father's livestock and given them to me. Now, there's that somewhat insightful on his part. And it came about when the time when the flocks were mating that I lifted my eyes and I saw in a dream, behold, the male goats which were mating were striped, speckled, and mottled. So finally, when they're doing this, God shows them some insight. This isn't about the bark. This isn't about what you're doing. This is about me. Then the angel said to me, Jacob, here I am, lift up your eyes now and see that all the male goats which are mating are striped, speckled, and mottled. For I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, leave the land, and return to the land of your birth. So God basically says to him, I did everything it's done here. Not your conniving, not your scheming, not your deception. Well, Rachel and Leah said to him, do we still have any portion of the inheritance of our father's house? I love these girls. We want more. We live for more. We love the fact that you're wealthy now, but I don't care. How about some of my father's wealth? I want some of that too. Wow. Are we not reckoned by him as foreigners? For he has sold us, and he said also entirely consumed our purchase price. Now, understand the way it was. When you paid a dowry for a woman in those days, the father of the bride would take the dowry and keep it. You see, he would hold it. And then later in life, he would give it back to his daughter, usually as an inheritance. Now, Laban took 7 years' labor, that's an enormous amount of money, for both of his girls, and he spent it all on Laban. And the girls knew it. He wouldn't give them a penny, because that's Laban. He doesn't care about his daughters. He doesn't care about anybody but Laban. That's just the way he works. So, he says in 16, surely all the wealth which God has taken away from our father belongs to us and to our children. Now then, whatever God has said to you, go ahead and do it. We're with you. Jacob arose and he put his children and his wives upon camels. And he drove away all his livestock and all his property which he had gathered. He acquired the livestock which he had gathered in Paddan Aram to go to the land of Canaan and to his father Isaac. Now, when Laban had gone to shear his flock, that's a distance away, then Rachel stole the household idols, which were her father's. Toya, she's a nice girl. Now, she's stealing from her father, but she has something in mind. In that culture, if you got the possession of the household idols, you have a larger portion of the inheritance. So she stole the idols. So that when she finds out Laban dies, she can come back and say, I had all the idols. They have to give her more. She's motivated just like Jacob and just like Laban. And Jacob, notice, it says deceived Laban. That word deceived is the exact same Hebrew word as the verse before when it says she stole. They just translated it to deception. He deceived Laban, the Aramean, he says, by not telling him that he was fleeing. He said, we got to get out of here without your father knowing. He's shearing sheep. Let's get out of here. So he fled with all that he had, and he arose, and he crossed the Euphrates, and he set his face toward the hill country of Gilead. They start a 500-mile walk back to the promised land. When it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob had fled, it says, then he took his kinsmen with him, and he pursued him a distance of 7 days' journey, and he overtook him in the hill country. Now, he has the men. He said, I'm going to go get them. Wow. There was a change, though. God came to Laban, the Aramean, in a dream at night and said, be careful that you do not speak to Jacob, either good or bad. Now, he never had that before. Now, he's told by Jacob's God, and he knows by Jacob's God why he was wealthy. So, he says, I don't want you to say a bad word about him or a good word. Laban caught up with Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the hill country, and Laban with his kinsmen camped in the hill country of Gilead. Then Laban said to Jacob, what have you done by deceiving me and carrying away my daughters like captives of the sword, my little girls? He doesn't care about his daughters at all. He never has. They're just my little girls. You took my little girls from me. Why did you flee secretly and deceive me and did not tell me? Because he said, I might have sent you away with joy and with songs and timbrel and lyre. I wanted to throw a party for you guys. I wanted to have a party so we could all celebrate together. This one with Jacob's thinking. There'd be no party with this guy. Did not allow me to. You didn't even allow me to kiss my daughter, my sons and my daughters. Now, you've done foolishly. He said, it is in my power to do you harm. Go ahead and try. You see what I mean? He's saying that just as a bluff. It is in my power to do you harm. But the God of your father spoke to me last night and said, be careful not to speak either good or bad to Jacob. He remembers that. So, he said, now you have indeed gone away because you long greatly for your father's house. But why did you steal my gods? He's a pagan. He has all kinds of idols. Then Jacob replied to Laban, because I was afraid, for I thought that you would take your daughters from me by force. The one with whom you find your gods shall not live. Wow. He just pronounced a death sentence on Rachel, the one he loves. You see, that's what he says. In the presence of our kinsmen, point out what is yours among my belongings and take it for yourself. Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. So Laban went into Jacob's tent and into Leah's tent and into the tent of the two maids, but he did not find them. So then he went out of Leah's tent and he entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household idols and put them in the camel saddle, and she sat on them. That's her scheme. Now, here's what's interesting about this. When a child goes in the presence of their parent, at any time in your life, you have to stand. That's our culture. You stand in front of your parent. Rachel said, I'd love to stand. Watch, but I can't. He said, Laban had taken the household idols, put them in the camel saddle, she said on, and Laban felt through all the tent and did not find him. And she said to her father, let not my Lord be angry that I cannot rise before you, for the manner of women is upon me. Wow. I'm having a ladies' moment here, and I can't stand, and I have to sit on the idols. You see? I have to do this. This deception. Everywhere you go, there's deception. So he searched and did not find the household idols. Then Jacob finally becomes angry, contended with Laban, and Jacob said to Laban, what is my transgression? What is my sin that you have hotly pursued me? He said, though you have felt through all my goods, what have you found in all the household was your goods? So he said, set it here before my kinsmen and your kinsmen, that they may decide between us two. These 20 years I have been with you. Your ewes, your female goats have not miscarried, nor have I eaten the rams from your flocks. That which was torn by beast I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it myself. You required it out of my hand, whether stolen by day or by night. If it was stolen, I had to eat the cost. Thus I was, by day and by day the heat consumed me, and frost by night, and my sleep fled from my eyes. These 20 years I have been in your house. I have served you 14 years for your two daughters, 6 years for your flock, and you changed my wages 10 times. There's this blow up to Laban. Then he says, for the first time in his life, something spiritual. He said, if the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had not been for me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the toil of my hands, and he rendered judgment last night. That's the first time. That's a change now in Jacob's life. God has been for me this whole time. And then Laban replied to Jacob, the daughters are my daughters, and the children are my children, and the flocks are my flocks, and all that you see is mine. And that's not true. He says, but what can I do this day to these my daughters or to the children whom they have borne? He just said that to say, look, I still think everything belongs to me and not you. But apparently here, your God has decided to change this whole thing and make it different. Wow. He says, so come now, let's make a covenant, you and I, and will bear witness between you and me. And then Jacob took a stone, he set it up as a pillar. Jacob said to his kinsmen, gather stones. So they took stones and made a heap. And they ate there by the heap. Now Laban calls it Jigar Sahadutha. By the way, it just means stones in a heap. Okay. Jacob called it Galid. Stones in a heap, or stones as a witness. Laban said, this heap is a witness between you and me this day. Therefore, we will name it Galid. And Mizpah, that means watchtower. And Mizpah, for he said, may the Lord watch between you and me when we are absent from one another. If you mistreat my daughters or if you take wives beside my daughters, although no man is with us, see, God is witness between you and me. And Laban said to Jacob, behold this heap, and behold the pillar which I set between you and me. This heap is a witness, and the pillar is a witness. I will not pass this heap, by this heap to do you harm, and you will not pass by this heap. And this is a pillar to meet for harm. The God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, the God of your father, judge between us. So Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered up a sacrifice on the mountain and called his kinsmen to the meal, and they ate and the meal and spent the night on the mountain. Early in the morning, Laban arose, kissed his sons and daughters, blessed them. Laban departed, returned to his place, and you never hear another word of him in the Bible. He's out of the story. Now, why was Laban in Jacob's life for 20 years? To change Jacob. It took someone worse than Jacob to change Jacob. It took someone who would scheme and deceive and take advantage like Jacob did to finally reach Jacob. You see, that's an amazing thing. That's why God said, I've seen what Laban has done to you all these 20 years. You see, and the reason it took 20 years is because of Jacob. That's how long it took for Jacob to have any insight whatsoever. God used Laban to shake Jacob. God uses Labans to shape us. You see the Labans of our life? God uses the Labans of our life. You see, that's what we view as a really terrible trial, God views as a test of our faith. You see, what are you going to believe when you have a Laban in your life? Let me look at two New Testament passages. First one's in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Now remember the choices that Jacob had. Did God tell Jacob, I'm going to put you back in the promised land? Yep. And I'm going to get you there safely. Yep. He did. But all the circumstances look like Laban is continually taking advantage of me for 20 years. So Jacob has a choice, the same choice we have. Do I fill my life with anxiety and fear, or do I trust God? That's the choice. The choice is everybody's. Do I want to have anxiety, or do I want to trust God? So look at this verse now in that light. Verse 6. Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Now, how much wiggle room do we have there? None. One thing you and I should never be is anxious. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. The prayer is the formal words, the supplication is the emotions behind it. What he is saying is when you have Labans in your life, talk to God about it. Tell God about it. Go ahead. Tell him how you feel. You can do this. You see, go ahead. That's a good thing. But here's the test part. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Okay. How many of you thank God for the Labans in your life? I just thank God for that. I thank God for that circumstance. I thank God for that person. I thank them. Is that what you do? You see, is that what you do with the Labans? Or do you do what Jacob did? I imagine for 20 years, every time he got back to the tent, oh, your father. Heck, the guy never stops. He just changed my wages again. This guy is so unfair. But notice what happens if we trust God. Be anxious for nothing and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts. There's peace there. I'm going to trust God, and I'm not going to let the Labans in my life get to me. And peace. It's interesting if you went back just a couple chapters in Philippians, the 2:13, it says, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work his good pleasure. Then it says this, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Now that sounds just like you, right? You would never grumble about a Laban in your life. You see, that's what we do. We grumble about it. We complain about it. God says, I see this. One more passage I want to look at is James chapter 1. Just a few more pages, you write James 1, verses 2 and 3. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various labens. That's a paraphrase. Consider it all joy when you encounter various labens. Why? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete and lack in nothing. God uses labens to grow us up. He uses the labens of life to grow us up. That's the way this thing works. I'm not sure there would be another way to ever reach Jacob without someone like Laban. Because Laban is the worst version of Jacob. And finally, Jacob wakes up to this after he was taken advantage of. Remember, he deceived his brother out of his birthright. He stole the blessing from his father, Isaac. He was an amazing guy. He'd do anything as a scheme. Wow. So, point from this story. I know we all prefer to live life without Labans. But good luck with that. I don't think that's going to happen. I think most lives have Labans in it. When you have a Laban in your life, talk to God about it. Thank God for it. And then realize this: God's going to use this situation to build into my life. Now, what's interesting is how many promises did God give Jacob? Two? One? That's it. One promise. Two. I will take you back into the land. That's a promise. And I will make sure you're there safely. So it's either two parts of one promise or two promises. Question: how many promises has God made to you? You see, how many? They're somewhat innumerable. You and I have so many more promises than Jacob had. Philippians 4. God says, I promise to supply all your needs according to the riches and glory of by Christ Jesus. I promise to meet all your needs. Wow. On the basis of Christ. Jesus said in Luke 6, God will bless you, good measure, pressed on, shaken together, and running over. He said, I promise I'll do that. With Paul's thorn in the flesh and the pain he was going through in 2 Corinthians 12, God says, I promise that my grace will be sufficient for you. No matter what you're suffering, I promise my grace will be sufficient for you. Romans 8:28, we've looked at many times. I promise to make all things work together for your good. That's a promise of God. In Isaiah 54, he said, I promise to defeat any weapon that is formed against you. Isaiah 43, I promise to provide you streams in the deserts. Also in that chapter, I promise to make a way when there is no way. Psalm 30, I promise to turn your sorrow into joy. And Psalm 147, I promise to bind up your broken heart. Those are promises. You see, do I want to trust God? Or do I want to look at the circumstances and let the circumstances fill me with anxiety and fear? See, that's our choice. And that's where the point of all Labans comes, you see. We may not want to ever have to deal with a Laban like Jacob did for 20 years. I sure hope not. But you will have Laban-like people in your life. We all do. Most importantly, don't give in. Don't fight fire with fire. Don't contend with your Labans using Laban terms. You see, we do that all the time. We try to fight it out on our own with the Labans. Respond to your Laban by trusting God instead of looking at your fears. That's what God is telling us in this story. It's a remarkable story. I've never been through this long a place of scripture with someone that we would all call one of the great heroes of the Bible. Jacob's name is changed to Israel. The 12 tribes are from him. And I don't know about you, but the more I know about him, That is not a very impressive man. The answer to all that is simply finding that one word from God. That's grace. That's the unmerited favor of God. The grace that was bestowed on Jacob is the grace that's been bestowed on you and on me. Let's pray. Father, the story seems almost humorous to us, and yet in another sense it makes a very clear point. We can't miss it. Jacob doesn't become the father of the nation Israel because of anything that he had done, nothing that he had accomplished, no devotion that he really showed, but because of your unmerited favor, your grace was upon him. You made the covenant with Abraham. It went to Isaac and then to Jacob. Father, that lesson is such an important one for us to know. All of us fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, not even one of us. But we are what we are because of the grace of God. We are forever grateful and thankful that you have bestowed your grace upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.